The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody! What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, and that really doesn't matter other than they're fun. They make you smile. They're fun. They make you smile. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think, hopefully before this show is over. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use. We probably won't, but we could. I mean, the Lord gives us different things to utilize. Do we always use them?
No.
Should we?
Yes.
Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? I can tell you right now, it's because we are paying the bills. That's why. And then also Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more.
Living this life, not always easy.
Oh, welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian, going through that process of knowing that each and every day that we get up, we have an opportunity to be connected to the Lord, and we should be. We have an access 24/365, 24/7, and every day, not twice a week, not twice a year, every day we should be connecting to the Lord in some capacity. Jesus laid down his life for us so that we could, by his blood, enter into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God. In the Old Testament, you can only do that one day a year, where the high priest on Yom Kippur would deal with the sins of the people by going into the very Holy of Holies, the presence of God himself. Now, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can just go in anytime because he, as our high priest, has made a continual opening before the Lord. Well, we should. It's a good idea. Here's the thing. If you have an opinion, a comment, okay, an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want you to let it die of loneliness. That's a bummer. You can call us at 972-445-0770. It's 972-445-0770. Today, it will be Awesome Jennifer that answers the phone. Terrific T's not here. Awesome Jennifer taking over, doing a fabulous job every single time she's ever done it because she's fabulous. That makes that easy. So if you want to call in, you can do that at 972-445-0770. You can text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. You can do that as well. And you can email, wow, David@hemustincrease.org. We're going to get ready to play the website for you because we love just reminding you it's there, and that's the way that we get our giving done. But we just want to remind you, email-wise, David@hemustincrease.org. And now we'll go ahead and play the website. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Jennifer, you just hit the cues perfect. It was just flawless. I mean, just absolutely.
I try.
No, it's perfect. I'm just saying. Just fantastic. Okay, so there's a couple things we need to catch up on. I need to talk to you about. But if you have a praise report, a prayer request, if you have an answer to trivia, if something the Lord's working on your life and you're like learning and you're like, hey, this is what I think the Lord's sharing with me. I want to talk. I just want to share it with somebody else. That kind of thing. You know, and like we said, Bible trivia, although it won't be in this segment, you have that opportunity to reach us by phone, by text, or by email. So that's kind of nice, kind of making that pretty simple and pretty cool. All right, let me give you a couple of quick updates, because as a Christian community, not as your church, although some people aren't able to go to church, so we hope it's a blessing in some capacity, but as a Christian community, as your big brother in the Lord, or as a brother in the Lord, I should say, because some of you are much more well-seasoned, much wiser than I. I'm just the irritating brother that always throws things at the table when we're eating together as a family. Just remember that. On Tuesday, we're going to end up doing Ezra, and we're going to end up doing probably 1 Thessalonians. I do want you to be aware that we went to the zoo yesterday with my family. I'd not been to the Dallas Zoo before, so it was my first experience at the Dallas Zoo. I will say it's bigger than I thought it was. I mean, you know, but that's, I mean, is that not Texas, right? Bigger than I thought it was. So that was kind of cool. There was some good animals there. I mean, good visuals you could see. But they do such a good job of the habitat process that you really have to look for the animals. You got to, like, hunt kind of thing. But it was fun. It was great fun. And the greatest thing was that Noelle and I were able to take the 3 older grandkids on the train, and we all sat in the caboose, and we had a good time. You know, that was Grandpa doing all the things that Grandpa shouldn't do, but that he gets to do because he gets to get away with them. Yeah. You just count on that. I already heard about that.
Well, that's what being a grandparent is all about.
That's what I thought. I thought you get to do those things, and then the kids complain, and you just go, uh-huh.
Yeah, you go. Here you go. Yeah. Go back to Mom and Dad. Yeah,
back to Mom and Dad. I'm done. All right, so just keeping everybody posted on that. I do want to get into this text. This is going to be a mind blower. Some people are going to be very upset. I love you in the Lord. Just remember that. This is out of Matthew chapter 4. We're starting with verse 11. This is Johnny B., who we call Johnny B., Johnny the Baptist. I baptize you with water for repentance. Let's just repeat that again. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who's coming after me is more powerful than I am. I am not worthy to remove his sandals. He himself will be baptizing you with the Holy Spirit and fire. You would never think that simple verses would create such problems, but they do. Let's just talk about this from the most obvious discussion. Baptism with water and baptism with the Holy Spirit. John said, I baptize you with water. Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Is there a difference? I don't know. Is there a difference between a gazoo and a violin? I would say yes. There's a difference. Yes, they both make noise, thank you, but one is a violin and one is a gazoo and one is probably a dollar and one is probably $100,000 depending on which violin it is. Here's the thing I'm trying to tell you. It's not that these ideas of baptism with water and baptism with the Spirit should be areas of confrontation and fighting with one another. That's just really the silliest, fleshliest part of Christianity. Here's what you know. Baptism with water is extremely important. Is that your salvation in and of itself? Nope, I don't see water regeneration as the process. But is it more important than the people will acknowledge? Yes, and ironically, the Baptists, and I'm a Baptist and a Pentecostal, but the Baptists do less of a job emphasizing baptism than other groups. Which is funny because they're the Baptists. You see, don't you find that? Okay, maybe it's just me. Anyway, so there's a baptism in water. That's an outward confession of an inward work. It's something that is as important as you can put up there. It's up there. I would probably say the 2 ordinances that most people recognize are baptism and the Lord's Supper. I think it's pretty obvious that without baptism, you're not saying to anybody you're saved, which is not going to work. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You can't escape that. The other aspect of that is baptizing in the Holy Spirit. And people get all goofy about that, but I'm going to tell you something that will make it really easy. When you get baptized in the Spirit by Jesus, Okay, because Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. It's as though he takes you, grabs you by, let's just say, the scruff of the neck, picks you up and dips you or and immerses you or drops you in the pool of the Spirit. And then all of a sudden, when you never knew anything before, you are now highly spiritually alert. That's when baptism of the Spirit takes place. You just became alive to the spiritual world. That's fantastic. The bigger controversy, believe it or not, is the last two words of this verse. I baptize you with water for repentance, John the Baptist said. And yes, there's a difference between this because he's distinguishing the difference. But the one who's coming after me is more powerful than I. I'm not worthy to remove his sandals. And he himself will be baptizing you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Boy, you'd think out of my 50-plus commentaries on the New Testament that there might be some consensus. Yeah, you'd think so. Anyway, the and fire part is debated between two lines. One group says that fire means the judgment. Another group says that fire means refinement from the Holy Spirit. If you want to take one side or the other, that's fine. You just can't do it for the sake of fellowship. I will say this about it. Oftentimes, the Lord says one thing, and it means multiple applications. So really, if you really understand how the Holy Spirit operates through the Word of God, you will understand that baptizing you with the Holy Spirit and fire could make a reference to those who are going to face the eternal fire, because John is going to talk about that in the next verse. Or that can be referenced to those who are going to be refined by the fire, and that's by the refinement of the Holy Spirit, which happens on a regular basis between Genesis and Revelation. The funniest thing about that is most people don't make the connect that that John says Holy Spirit and fire, and at Pentecost they had tongues of fire sitting on them. Thank you. That was me spazzing out. All right, we're going to take a break and come back. I got a lot more. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook. He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. So check it out. There is, I put something new up there, and now I can't even remember what it is. I don't know. You've been getting older. I don't know. All I know is I worked out today, and I was telling T, it was terrible. You know, you work out, and then you come back, and you're supposed to feel good or whatever. That didn't happen. Just so you can know. I think the people in the gym were worried that I was going to keel over. It's like, oh, what's wrong with that guy?
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, before we do our trivia question, I want to give a shout out to Al, who sent me a text today. This is our audience now. Al sent me a text today and said, I got all the trivia questions from yesterday. I got them all right. You got them all correct. That's pretty good because it was a replay. That was good. I'm very, very impressed, my good friend. That is very, very good. Okay, that's kind of funny. Here is the first trivia question for today. Who said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord"? Often known in the Hebrew language as the Shema. Who said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord"? I'm looking for the who. If you know that answer, call 972-445-0770. If you do that, Awesome Jennifer will answer the phone. Isn't that nice? That's, of course, that's nice. You can text in 214-210-8483. That way it can get right to my phone. If you think you know who said that, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord," also known as the Shema. And actually, I could do the Hebrew version for you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Okay, there you go. That had to be worth some private Hebrew school somewhere. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going any farther than that. Let me just do a quick DNA. I don't know where they do this with Jennifer, so I don't want to make her do this because that doesn't seem fair because she doesn't. It's kind of hard to kind of throw her in the middle of it. So let me just do that real quickly. The DNA is pretty straightforward. It stands for, it's an acronym basically, kind of. And the way it works out is instead of being building blocks for what your actual internal self is on the physical or normal plane, these are the DNA blocks that we should be operating with on every day basis as Christians. And so the D stands for draw closer to the Lord daily. And see, the thing about that daily part about that is not only did Jesus teach us to daily, that we're supposed to please give us this day our daily bread. So he taught us that prayer is daily. But then David also says, I want to fulfill my vows daily. In other words, there's a daily element. Now, it might be we take it one day at a time, which I think is wise, but you still have to be in it every single day. So D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, this is the N part, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Doesn't matter if the world's like, ha, 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 you silly Christian. The Bible's got all these contradictions and man wrote the Bible. First of all, if you believe that God created the universe, you have to be able to believe he wrote a book. So I'm just going to step out there and go, I believe God is quite capable. Sorry. I mean, I'm sorry that that's something that's beyond your grasp. I don't see that. Also, I just want to say, so that's the D, then the N, never be ashamed of Jesus' words, and then the A, always be ready to serve. And so I just wrote this morning on my PhD, we have a back and forth and somebody's doing a real special thing, and I said, you know, we have something at the show where you present yourself before the Lord. It's like, here I am, Lord, use me. It's like, it's not like a very long prayer, but if you start every day off like that, you'll find yourself more involved in the things of God than if you don't do that. And the reason that we should do that is because it keeps us mindful of the Lord in the very beginning of the day so that we can be active throughout the day for him, right? And I understand that some people have to wake up and get the eyes open and, you know, the salvation is in the blood of Jesus Christ, but oftentimes waking up is in the coffee. I understand that. I'm not having a hard time with that. But at some point in that first little beginning part when you become conscious and you're aware, you know, just say, hey, Lord, here I am. Use me. That little prayer puts you in a place where you're always ready to serve. That's the A, always be ready to serve, of the DNA. So draw closer to the Lord daily, D, N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words, and then A, always be ready to serve. Okay? Okay. Yeah, I just can do this forever. Isn't that a problem? Well, a little bit. Okay, that's last line, and last time I'll talk about the trivia question, and then I'm going to go into this teaching. Okay. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Who said that? Who said that? Who said that? Who said that? Okay. Let me get into this next portion of this text in Matthew. Fascinating portion. I don't feel it needs as much explanation as some people want to try and build into it, and I can understand that. Oh, the number. 972-445-0770 if you want to call in. Sorry. Okay, and then here's what John said, Johnny B, Matthew chapter 3, verse 12. His winnowing shovel is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with fire that will never go out. So when people say to you, well, the Bible doesn't talk about any kind of burning or hell, you can just go, okay, we're going to do this thing called read, okay? Read, okay? Here we go. See Jane run. See Dick walk. You see, I mean, this is part of that process, right? Well, here's what Johnny B. said. Okay, so Jesus, he's got the winnowing shovel. He's clearing the threshing floor. How's he doing that? He's gathering his wheat into the barn, and the chaff will be burned with fire. And then he explains or defines that, which will never go out. That's not right. A loving God, you don't know what a loving God would or wouldn't do, because you and I are so filled of unrighteousness, we wouldn't know what's right from wrong apart from God helping us see what's right from wrong. So that human comments like that are fantastic. All you do is turn to the person and say, do you have a heaven that I can go to? Did you create one that I'll actually be able to get into? Then if not, be quiet. And the reason that I say it that way is because what the people are trying to do is they try and use this argument, well, a loving God will never do that. How do you know what a loving God would or wouldn't do? You don't even know him. And that's, again, like somebody trying to define somebody that they have no connection to. It doesn't work out very well. There are a couple things to understand about what was said by John the Baptist, which, by the way, is reiterated by Jesus. And I am not a farmer, so let's not... Let's not get into the weird part. But when you have the wheat, it gets crushed, and then the shell part falls to the wayside, and then the more seed part or the more usable part stays. It's more like in the middle. Then the fork is taken, it's scooped up, thrown up in the air, and then the wind takes away the stuff that has no weight to it, and what falls is what is basically used in the wheat process. And it's really straightforward, especially from a farming point of view, even though I think many people want to make it complex. The wheat, Jesus is going to gather, and the chaff, the stuff that's kind of lighter than and gets squished out kind of or squished to the side, that he's going to burn, and that burning process is not going to quit. Okay. But what we want to do is we go, well, no. It's like, yeah. Jesus is going to clear it out. He's going to gather his wheat, which is a wonderful promise, eschatological promise, that says Jesus is going to gather us together. Is that going to come in a premillennial formation? I don't know. I hope so. Is it going to come in a pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation rapture? I don't know. I hope so. I don't know. Here's what I know for sure. He's gathering his wheat. I'm going to be a wheat. Okay? That's what I want to. So you remember we were talking about the sheep and the goat? The sheep are on the right side, the goat are on the left, and I want to be a goat. I went to the zoo yesterday. I really don't want to be a goat. I mean, I'm just being nice about it. So the idea behind this is to understand that John set this is the forerunner to the ministry of Jesus. Jesus didn't come behind John and say, well, don't pay attention to what John said. Jesus said John was one of the greatest prophets of all time. Gather the wheat, burn the chaff. Got it. I want to be wheat. I don't want to be chaff. And the fire that never goes out. When does it go out? Never. What's the definition of never? Never.
Never ask me that. See, that's what it is. And instead of making this cut, that's what it is. Okay, well, we just got to work on it from that point and understand, okay, that's what we need. So when John came and he was giving his message, if you remember in the beginning of Matthew, we talked about it, he's like, you know, he was pretty upset with the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they were like, oh, we're going to repent too. We're going to get baptized too. And he's like, bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. And then he goes and drills down. He's not even, I mean, this is anything but nice, anything but politically correct. He wouldn't know political correctness, and he shouldn't because it's not biblical. But he says the axe is already at the root of the tree. Any tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. That's another reference, by the way. Third reference that John made to fire. Wow. Amazing, right? That's amazing stuff. Okay, so we're going to go back and answer the trivia question. That's our Matthew portion. I'm encouraging you to hang on for the ride that's coming in the next segment because it is a little bit like that. Just making sure you understand, John had a baptism. Jesus had a baptism. Are they the same? No, they're not the same. And then there's the chaff, and then there's the wheat. Are they the same? No, they're not the same. And will the wheat and the chaff hang out for eternity? No, they will not. And you don't want to be in a place where you think that 60 trillion sunburn oil won't work. You just don't want to be there. All right, who said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one"? And the answer to that would be Moses. By tradition, we believe that Moses was actually the author of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. There's some people say, well, how could he have written Genesis? It's also believed that God gave him the capacity to write Genesis, especially with the relationship that he had with the Lord. But the answer to the question, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord," and that is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, also known as the Shema, which, by the way, is one of the most important prayers that any true Jewish Bible believer will ever, ever utter, just so you can know. All right, we're going to take our break, and then we're going to come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, top of the hour. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
A big portion of being guided is asking, prayer, when you're praying with people, fellowship amongst other people can lead you to guidance. It's happened on more than one occasion for me. Counsel is obviously very good, both spiritual and not necessarily biblical. Also, practical counsel is good. Circumstances often speak to us and give us guidance. Open doors, or for that fact, closed doors. We know his word gives us guidance. We know in 2 Corinthians 2:13 and 14, Paul said that he used peace of mind as an aspect of guidance. These are all the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us is, of course, the number one element for guidance is to be led by the Spirit, right? These are all hugely important.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.